What can we learn from our Hebrew ancestors as we too transition from one era to another? Last week, we read in the first two-thirds of the chapter 15 how the children of Israel, they came together. The Hebrews, they came together and they celebrated in dance and in song because God miraculously delivered them. Now, would it be easy to celebrate when God blesses you with deliverance, healing and all that? Wouldn't that be great? I mean, you could sing and dance all day long, right? Now, we understand that they did that. We too can celebrate. We too. We can dance. And so, well, Pastor, is it okay to dance in the church? Yeah, God created dance. He gave us opportunity to dance. Just don't run over anyone's toes when you're dancing in the aisles. We can celebrate too, just like with the Hebrews, because we know God is victorious, and we know that he cares for us, and that he will deliver us. Isn't that what every one of those songs talked about this morning? But I tell you what happens after something good comes in your life? What happens after you experience such a great blessing? What happened to the Hebrews is what every one of us can relate to today. They experienced a great blessing and followed up right away with a trial, with hardship, and a test. How many of you love a test? How many of you love hardships? How many of you would rather have a blessing or a testing? This is going to be an exciting lesson for us this morning. It's probably going to be something new for some of you, because we understand that after this great celebration came a great testing for the Hebrews, the Israelites. How many of you love tests at school? This was me when I was about ready to take a test. I stressed out about tests. Anytime there was a pronouncement of a test or an exam coming, I started to stress out. I was easily distracted. Back then, they didn't have all these letters for symptoms of how I acted. But I'm telling you, I was so easily distracted that while I was taking a test, I could hear the tick, tick, tick of the clock in the room. And that would distract me. And then I would read the question 5-6 times, and then I would confuse myself. And I'd get in my head, and I wouldn't know how to answer the question. It stresses me out whenever I take a test. If you want to cause problems with me, just tell me I'm going to have a test tomorrow. And my biological reaction will tell you, ooh, I don't like that. All right, we got teachers here. No, we got teachers watching. Why, teachers, why do you abuse us so much and give us tests? Look at all of these teachers right here. Why do you guys do that to us? Oh, I love you too. My most stress-filled test was when I was in seminary. I had to take an exam to test what I'd learned in seminary. You know, whenever a test comes into my life, maybe a test comes into your life, you just wonder, are you going to make through? Are you going to pass it? Every person here has life tests, would you agree? Mm-hmm. We live in a world that is constantly challenged, constantly pulling us apart. We live in a fallen world that we know is just spinning out of control. And if you don't believe me, just watch the news. But if you're a believer, you have more tests in your life. Now, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you're going to start saying, well, why do I want a piece of that cake then? Stick with me a little bit. See, I experience life tests, and I experience God tests. And especially a believer, we got to understand why they're in our lives. They're both stressful. And both of them cause me to wonder if I'm going to see it through on the other side. And that's where we find ourselves today in the book of Exodus, the last part of chapter 15. Here we see the Hebrews on the tail of them celebrating. They've never had a party like they just had a party before. They've been in slavery. They've been in bondage. God delivered them miraculously out of slavery. God delivered them through the Red Sea, crossing on dry ground. And all they did is look back and they saw every one of their enemies destroyed. And from that point on, life is going to be awesome. Let's do it. Awesome. It took 430 years to get this. Let's party. And they celebrated. And I love how Miriam, she took all the women. They just celebrated and they danced. But what follows next is something that we all can relate to. that the Hebrews find themselves being tested by God. Does God test us? Now, I know some believers and I know some preachers and a lot of those guys that are on TV that God doesn't test you. He just wants to bless you. See, in Exodus chapter 15, the reality hits and they're going to experience something that you and I experience all the time. Now we just got to try to wrap our heads around it. And if I'm going to give this message a title, it's going to be The Cycle of Testing and Blessing. In fact, if I would have told you what I'm going to be preaching about today, I bet you have come up with a good excuse. And you would have missed out on a great blessing of understanding today. Father, we're going to open up our Bibles this morning. We're grateful for the Word of God, for it is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. Father, we're going to talk about what you were trying to teach the Israelites in the last part of chapter 15. And I pray that the lessons that you want them to learn will be able to accept them as well and understand why you do some of the things you do in our lives. And I pray, Father, that you will help us understand and apply in Jesus' name. Amen. As we go through this last few verses of chapter 15, I think there are three things that we can learn about God tests. Three things that our Hebrews learned the hard way, and possibly three things that you can learn the easy way. Don't be like the Hebrews. Don't be like your pastor who learns things the hard way. But learn from our examples, because if you can understand this, you'll have more blessings in your life than testings in your life. I know that almost sounds like the health, wealth, and prosperity, but I'm telling you the biblical truth if you pay attention to this. So let's look at some of these things about God tests. I guess if I had to ask you a real quick question, what are God tests? What are they for? I mean, how many have ever experienced a God test? How many of you would rather pray for blessings in your life? Which builds up your faith more? Well, how come you all don't pray for testings then? Chapter the last part of chapter 15, and find three things about God tests that you may not like, but you have to accept. First and foremost, tests arrive in orchestrated timing. Nothing happens outside of God's will and control in your life. God allows things to happen, and I'm going to tell you right now, He orchestrates tests in your life. Now, I know that doesn't fit wealth, health, wealth, prosperity, because if you have enough faith and you give enough, you can cast all those tests in the sea and they'll be removed from you, because God only wants to bless you. He doesn't want to test you. That is so anti-biblical. Let's look at these verses here. This is going to be chapter 15, verses 22 to 23. Then Moses led the people of Israel away from the Red Sea. And they moved out into the desert of Shur. They traveled in this desert for 3 days without finding any water. Were they searching for water? Yes, but they didn't find any water. Is water important? Yeah. How many people are searching right now for water? Over 2 million. And how many cows and sheep and lambs and all that do they have? A lot, all right? So when they came finally to the oasis of Mar, the water was too bitter to drink, so they called the place Mar, which means what?
Bitter.
God ordains and orchestrates tests in our life. Do you think God was part of this? Maybe God gave them the wrong GPS coordinates. I don't know. But the Hebrews now they've gone from extreme celebration on the shores of the Red Sea until this desperation. It says that Moses took them into the journey, into 3 days, 72 hours, right? Just trying to find water. Do you blame them for being thirsty? They went from being on the mountaintop to becoming anxious and worried and filled with despair. Put themselves in your shoes. I know it's so easy to judge them. I know it's easy to judge the apostles. But imagine you're walking in the desert. How fun is that? You think you're miserable when you drive through the desert because the air conditioning can't keep up. They're walking through the desert. It's 100 degrees outside. They're carrying all their Egyptian stuff, gold, silver, pottery, everything, clothing. And they weren't even on a major trade route. Moses took them on a route that argued against the GPS. And so there was no one there, no one walking by with extra water saying, here, you can have some of our water for 3 days. And you know how important the number three is in the Bible? It's amazing. Put yourself in their shoes. Commentators say that they average 15 miles a day. How many of you have even walked 5 miles a day and felt like you just did a marathon? All right. 15 miles a day, 2 million people, plus all the stuff going across the desert. They used up all their water. They're looking for water, and they're tired. They finally reach an oasis, a watering hole. And what did all the Hebrews say? Whew. It's like when you're driving and the driver says, I know you need to use the restroom, but can you just wait a little bit longer? And so you wait, and you drive by all those exits. And then all of a sudden, the driver pulls off, and what do you say? Well, you're almost at that point, but you don't say it yet. You're thinking about it. Well, they finally reach a watering hole, a sign of hope that God did not lead them out in the desert to die. But soon they realized the water was brackish. Brackish is a word that used where salt and fresh water come together. You can't drink it. In fact, they say hardly anything grows in this water. Realize that maybe God didn't know what he's doing. I mean, maybe he exhausted himself on parting the Red Sea. Maybe he needed to take day number 7 and rest again. All right, I got you through. Now it's all on your own. Good luck. God knew this route. God knew that they were going to be thirsty. And God knew that the water was going to be bitter. But what did he do anyways? Led them there. Now that doesn't sound like a very loving, caring God, does it? Why would he do that to them? He led them there just 72 hours after deliverance because he had a plan. But they didn't know what his plan was. How many of you know God's plan? And in the midst of not knowing God's plan, how many of you think the glass is half empty? This water, God, what are you doing? And so can you blame the people for getting mad at Moses? No, we can understand them. We can relate to what's happening. But God knew it was easier to trust in the blessing than it was to trust in the testing. And so he set this up. They were celebrating him 3 days earlier. God, you're amazing, you're amazing, you're amazing. And God says, how amazing am I? Am I amazing because I provided for you? Or let me put it in my favorite vernacular. Am I amazing because I performed for you? Let's see how genuine this is. And so he says, go out into the desert. And they obeyed him. And the test came. The burden came. What about us today, believers today? Do we act just like our Hebrew ancestors? Yes, we do. It's easier to trust in the blessing than the testing. We love some passages. We love giving these scriptures to people who are going through the testing. You know, right, Christians, you know, believers who are going through the testing, we have our hallmark list of verses we like to give people. But it's those same verses that we don't like to read when we're going through the testing. But, oh, we read them when we're going through the blessing. Think about this verse we have right here out of Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all thirstiness, all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Put this verse in the context of blessings and testings. Think about this verse. Where does God need, do you have to guard your hearts and minds when you're going through the blessing? Oh, God is good to me, isn't he? Oh, God has given me this, this, and that. How many of you say the same thing when you go through the trial, when you go through the testing? Oh, God, you're so good to me. Thank you for bringing this test in my life. This is when the peace of God, which transcends your situation, this doesn't make sense, God. But you know you have faith, and that faith in God protects your mind, your thinking, and your heart, your emotions. And you know you can get through this with God's presence in your life. And oh, how we love to share 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to bless you abundantly. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Can I tell you how many preacher TV evangelists have used this passage to get you? You want to live that kind of life? You need to show your faithfulness to God. Don't give 10%, give 90% to God, and you will live that life. And they tell you how to live that life. Can I reword the scriptures for you? Now, I'm not rewriting them, but I'm going to put them in terms of what we're thinking about today. God is able to bless you abundantly. And again, all God's people said, we know that happens, so that in all things, even trials, in all times, even tough times, you will have all that you need to learn and depend on God. And you'll pass the tests as you abound in every good work. Does that scripture make a little more sense to you now? Especially in our context. How many of you want to share that now with your friend? How many of you want some friend to share that now with you? Think about this. These blessings and these testings all come from the hand of God. And we need to accept them as God-orchestrated events. How many of you love when God orchestrates a blessing in your life? How many of you love when God orchestrates a test in your life? Imagine if we had a Bible figure here. Ruth is going to help us out in a second. Imagine that we were given the history of some Bible characters, how this cycle of blessing and testing comes. Listen, as Ruth reads, I put this little vignette together about the life of Joseph. Joseph from the Old Testament. And if you don't remember it, maybe the movie, you'll remember what scenes from the movie. Go ahead, Ruth.
Look at the life of Joseph. His father loved him and gave him a coat of many colors. That was a blessing from God. Then his jealous brothers sold him into slavery. That was a test from God. He was purchased by a military officer in Pharaoh's army, Potiphar. That was a blessing from God because he found favor with Potiphar and was promoted to manager of the entire house. But Potiphar's wife tempted him. This wasn't a test from God because God doesn't tempt people with sin, but it was a temptation Joseph had to fight through with God's help. When he refused to sleep with her, she lied to her husband, who had Joseph thrown into prison for a crime he didn't commit. This was a test from God. Yet, while in the prison, he was put in charge of the other prisoners. That was a blessing from God. He ended up interpreting dreams of prisoners. That was a blessing from God. When one of the prisoners was released, he went back to working for Pharaoh, but forgot to tell Pharaoh about Joseph's ability to interpret dreams. Joseph remained in prison. That was a test from God. But Joseph was patient, and eventually the man remembered him and told Pharaoh that Joseph could interpret his dream. When Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream, he was promoted to second in command of all of Egypt. That was a blessing from God. During a famine, his betraying brothers came to Egypt asking for food. This was a test from God because Joseph had to decide if he'd forgive them or not. He did forgive them, and all his family came to Egypt. He got to see his father again before he died. That was another blessing from God.
Do you see the cycle here? It's so obvious, and there's so many other Bible characters we could use. I'm going to tell you right now that there's a cycle here. You see, because the test produces the bless, and the bless prepares you for the test. The problem is we're so emotionally involved with our stuff, we don't see the hand of God orchestrating all this together. So understand, when you experience this great blessing from God, you can't have this mindset, well, God's blessing me, and then I'm going to turn around the corner and everything's going to be cut out from underneath my feet. No, that's the enemy trying to twist a God opportunity in your life. when a blessing comes into your life, he wants you to enjoy it, to receive it, and to use it to prepare you for a test that's coming into your life. Imagine going through life without the presence of God in. Imagine going through tests and trials and just living in this fallen world without God on your side. So what happens is the cycle, the test comes and the bless will come. When the bless comes, you can expect a test to come. Do you see how it cycles? Which came first, the chicken or the egg? No, it didn't. God created an egg. So we have to understand that they're in relationship, and both of them have a priority in your life. Not to make you happy, not to make you wealthy, but to make you holy and more faithful. So now we're going to move on a little bit more. Do you understand the cycle here that God orchestrates these things? Are there any other Bible characters that you can see the cycle in their life too? They're all over the place. Be a great Job. You all probably thought I was going to use Job, but it would be a lot longer of a read for Ruth. Second, let's move on. Tests are difficult, everyone says, but they have solutions. There's not a single test of any Bible character that God did not provide a solution to. So if you're going through a test time right now, where do you get the idea that God won't get you through it? From the enemy whispering, oh, you deserve it. You deserve it. No. God is always going to, when he orchestrates a test in your life, he's also going to orchestrate a solution for you. I'm going to tell you that God will not allow anything, right? Anything to come across your path that you can't what? Handle. Pray through. Let's look at what he says in the next couple verses. Then the people complained and turned against Moses. What are we going to drink? They demanded. So Moses cried out to the Lord for help. And the Lord showed him a piece of wood. There you go. There's the sermon. Does that make sense? No. Oh, Lord, 2 million people are about ready to die. They're getting mad 72 hours after they were glad. Lord, what are you going to do? Hey, look at that stump. That's a very nice piece of wood, isn't it? Moses is learning to scratch his head a little bit. Moses, then he threw it in the water. Now, I know why I would have thrown it in the water. And God probably would have smited me then. But God is trying to test Moses as well. So Moses threw it in the water, and it made the water good to drink. It was there at Marah that the Lord set forth before them the following decree. Listen, the following decree as a standard to test their faithfulness to him. In college, I prepared for a theology exam. And I studied all the night before. No, I didn't study the week before. I crammed the night before. I got all of my notes that I had for ecclesiology. You know what ecclesiology is? The study of the church. And I was ready. I had coffee in me. I was sleeping on my notes. I had everything. My Walkman was playing. I had everything going to study about the church. But that next morning when I got to class at 8 a.m., the prof passed out the exam. He put it on every person's desk, and there the heading was eschatology, the sign of the study of last times, the end times. I studied the wrong material. I became a man of prayer in the 8 o'clock hour. Now, I don't remember how well I did, but I studied the wrong material. See, I wasn't prepared, nor was I expecting it. Are you ever prepared for that test that comes into your life? Are you ever prepared for what the doctor says to you? Are you ever prepared about how a loved one says something to you? You're not prepared. And do you expect it? I mean, if I was creating this theology of God, I would have said, you know, I love these humans so much that I'm going to let them know tomorrow something's going to come across your path. You need to get ready for it. Now, wouldn't that be a good God? I'm going to tell you, he tried that at first, but it didn't work. Most of the time, the tests and the challenges and the trials in my life, I didn't expect. I didn't prepare for. It came out of the what? Blue. I had no idea. And that's where we find the Hebrews. They weren't expecting to be. Imagine, you're walking through on dry ground with trillions and trillions and trillions of gallons of water in the middle of the blessing. And on the other side, what is the one thing you need? Water. But you can't drink the water. Oh, how mean is God? I don't blame them for being frustrated. I don't blame them for questioning Moses. 3 days is the max, scientists say, that your body can go without water. 3 days ago, they were surrounded by water. But now, 3 days later, they need water just for survival, not just because they're thirsty. Yes, we understand that they by now should know that God will care for them. How many of you know that God was going to provide a miracle? How many of them knew that? None of them knew that. Just like you don't know how God's going to provide a miracle in your situation. But God does know. God does. He's orchestrated it all together. They should have known. After all, he just saved them from 10 plagues, right? He shielded them from all those experiences. He rescued them from their slave masters, and he destroyed their enemies in front of their eyes 3 days ago. And now 3 days after that, they're complaining to God, "How come you don't care about me?" How many have ever seen God? He did a miracle in your life and rescued you or got you through that test. All right? How did that help you on the next test? I don't know about you, but I forgot about the blessing from the last test. I don't know about you, but I forgot about how El Shaddai took care of me before. And I find myself emotionally turned upside down because of the test I'm going through. And I say, like you, "God, don't you care about me? Don't you understand what I'm going through?" And then God said, "Well, what did you learn the last time, Bill? I took care of you this, and that. Don't you think I can take care of this with you as well?" I know, God, but wait, you know what? I was praying for a blessing. I wasn't praying for a testing, God. Why are you being so mean to me? Am I the only one that acts that way to God? How many of you know lightning strikes a lot if you're not careful? Now, you might not talk like that, but boy, you act like that. We all do. We're just like our Hebrews. It was a 3-day test for Moses, too. God knew the Israelites were going to experience complaining for 40 years. I think they were prepared maybe for a 4-day journey, maybe 40 days. But God knew that this was going to be a pivotal point. If they can trust him in this test, and if Moses can trust him in this test, they're going to be able to survive the 40 years that they're about ready to go experience. God knew it was going to be difficult. So God provided Moses and the people a test to prepare them for what's coming down the road. Isn't that just like God? He prepares you for what's coming down the road. How he prepares you, though, can be difficult. And when that preparation comes to my life, I try to pray it out of my life. And God says, "You know, Bill, I know how you feel about this. Bill, I know you don't like this. I don't blame you. You're thirsty. You're crying out. But trust me, there's a reason why I have this happening." How did this water turn from brackish to drinkable? Well, there are two thoughts out there. Number one, the tree was simply a tool that God used. You know, just like the staff of Moses, it was just a staff. It was just a piece of gopher wood or something. It was just a tool that God used, and it was to test Moses in the midst of complaining all around him. Imagine 2 million people not voting for you. Don't go that far. He took this 70 million, I mean this log, and he threw it in the water, and it became what? Drinkable. How do you know it became drinkable? Someone had to test the test. Someone had to test the blessing. Moses, imagine that they don't show this in the movie. Moses throwing this piece of wood in the water, and he says, okay, someone drink it. And everyone says in harmony, no, you drink it. It doesn't tell us who drank it. But eventually everybody had to drink it to test even the blessing. There's a second theory of how this happened. I like this one. Jamie Buckingham, a commentator, said there were certain chemicals in the sap of this tree that when it was thrown into the water, it went down to the bottom and the sap began to attract all the salt, all the things that were causing the water to be impure. It was a chemical reaction. Now, do you know that happens in life? It's there. Possible. Now, I love how it continues on, and this is just his speculation. There was something about this water. It wasn't drinkable, but there was a lot of compounds and a lot of chemicals and a lot of minerals in this water that possibly, once it was drinkable, that the leftover minerals, the leftover composites would clean out their system and prepare them for living 40 years in the desert. Think about that for a second. Now, is that something like my God would do? Is that something like your God would do too? You may not like what you're going through, but there's some benefits. And you got to trust God, even though it's like, no, I think you should taste the water. You know, Daniel, come here. Come taste this water real quick. And when Daniel drinks this water, it's actually going to prepare him for 40 years of living as nomads. When you lived in Egypt all your life, how easy of a transition is it to go to living in the desert? Can't imagine. They had everything they wanted in Egypt, right? They had everything they wanted. And they ate of the food in Egypt, but is that food going to be in the desert anymore? No, they're going to learn to be eating other things now. They're going to be drinking other things. And God says this testing is designed to be a blessing. You see, I have a solution for the test. All you got to do is be faithful that you trust me as much as you do in the blessing. Then the miracle had to be proved. And 2 million people. Was this a small little pond? How easy is it to give 2 million people water? That's hard. Plus all the cattle. So you have to understand, tests are difficult, yes, but they all have solutions if you seek them. Ask what, and you'll find. Seek, and you'll find. Ask, and it'll be made known to you. We got to say, God, why are you allowing this in my life? What is the purpose of this in my life, God? If nothing passes through your hand without your permission, why? How? It's easy to ask why, isn't it? But it's more healthy to ask, how, Lord, will you bring me through this? How do you see me walking through this bitter water that I'm experiencing in my life? Leads us to the last part that we have. There's some scripture verses that help us understand when we experience these tests, when we experience these trials and these challenges, and you might be in one right now. Chances are when two or more are gathered in the name of Jesus, there's someone struggling. There also may be one who's just getting ready for a God-orchestrated test in your life because God wants to bless your life. Listen to some of these great passages, and I'm going to have the worship team help me. Let's listen to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Now think about these familiar passages, but in light of what we're talking about today. Go ahead.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight.
Make your paths straight. Why? Because your paths are crooked. Something's wrong. You're not living that straight life that God wants you to live. God says, in this test, here's how I want you to react with it. And I'm going to make it a blessing to you. Again, same thought, but now listen to Isaiah 41, verses 10 through 13.
Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand, and I will say to you, don't be afraid. I am here to help you.
In the test, in the challenge, in the hardship. How many of you are afraid of certain things that come into your life? I am. How many of you get discouraged? I do. But what does the Lord say? Don't be afraid. That is not bigger than me. Don't be discouraged thinking that I can't handle this. Do you think I'm that unable to help you through this test? Again, now listen to Isaiah 40, verse 31, in light of this test.
But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint.
There's a solution that God has for you in this hardship. The problem is we grow weary and faint because we think we're going to do it on our own. God says you're not designed to do it on your own. He's going to bring reminders of who he is in your life and other people in your life. And you may even come to a sermon that's saying, wow, I really needed to hear that today, Lord, because I'm really going through it. Think about this whole testing with Matthew 19:26.
Jesus looked at them and said, humanly, it is impossible, but with God, everything is possible.
Have you ever experienced a test that you thought there is no way? Okay, maybe if you haven't, you know someone who has. You know what my God always proves to me? He is the way. And he makes a way through the wilderness. He makes a way through the Red Sea. He makes a way when things think there's just no hope. God says, I'm the God who everything's possible with, if you trust and believe. The problem is we give up. There's no way God can do this. And then you live in that life. And God did not want you to live that way. Think about this last verse out of Philippians chapter 4.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving added, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ.
When you have a test that comes in your life, a challenge, a crisis, how many of you are just like me? You don't say, thank you, Lord. That was so nice of you. Maybe sarcastically. My Bible says, in all things and in all ways. I tell you what, it takes a lot of faith to do that. It takes a lot of hope. Faith and hope come from knowing how God will respond in your life. How do you know how God will respond in your life? How he responded before. The test he brought you from and through before will remind you that God's got this. Problem is, you and I forget about what he's done for us in the past. The miracles he's done in our life, the healing, the restoration that he's done. And when we go through it again, because I'm going to tell you, if you haven't had a test lately, it's coming. Why? Because you're here this morning. And you're welcome. But that test will hopefully bring you to a new level of being blessed in God's eyes. What does it mean to be blessed? Not what you've been thinking throughout this. Now, let's move to this last part. Tests have purpose and benefits. This is when the blessing comes out of the testing. How many of we should just skip right to this point, right? How can I make my test a blessing for me? Three easy payments. We can do that. No, you've got to accept the first two, my friends. This is what he's going to say in the last few verses of chapter 15. He said, this is God. This is the statement of testing now. If you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands, we'll get to those in a few weeks, and keeping all of his decrees, then. Starts with if, conditional. Then appears. I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. After leaving Marah, the Israelites traveled on to the oasis of Elim, where they found 12 springs and 70 palm trees. And they camped there beside the water. Do you see the test had a purpose? You see, the test had benefits as they go through. God saying, if you trust and obey, I will take care of you. It's conditional. It's a contract. Do we serve a God who always gives us promises? And I'm going to tell you what, most of all those promises are conditional. What's my favorite word in the Bible? What's the one word in the Bible I struggle with most? If. If I do my role, if I do my part, then God will do his part. God says, you love me? Because I bless you? Let's see how you celebrate. Let's see how you dance when you struggle. Let's see if you turn to me and cast all your cares upon me when you're struggling with something. I would much rather God be the source of blessings in my life, but I'm going to tell you right now, as a man who's read the Bible, God is also the source of testing in your life. Not all tests come from God, but God does test his people. Don't get confused. The Bible says God will not tempt you with sin, but the Bible does say that God will test you. And it's not for your scorecard or what these people on that side of the church do to grade you. It's for your benefit. Just want to make sure they're awake this morning. After a test, I have seen over and over, and you need to listen to me if you're going through it right now. I've seen it over and over in the Bible. I've seen it over and over in my life. After the test, you will experience the bless. If you trust in him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. Do you think God's going to lead you down this path that he won't go there with you? He says, I'll be with you wherever you go. In fact, he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. In fact, you can't even escape from me. I'm always going to be there with you. Through this test, the Hebrews learn certain things, and hopefully we will learn certain things, how to pray better, how to pray better, how to trust God more, how to be more obedient. And then here they learned a new name for Jehovah. It's a great song. In fact, there's a Jewish kind of a flair to the song. Jehovah Jireh says, he is my provider. Listen to what James 1 says. Verses 2 through 4 and verse 12 says, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of different kinds. No one says amen to that ever. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing that the Lord promised you. So what robs the promises and the blessings of God in your life? When you refuse to give the test to him, when you refuse to look at the one who wants to benefit you through the test, when we don't acknowledge God through the testing, we steal ourselves of the blessing. A blessing is typically right around the corner of your testing. And a testing is typically unfolding itself after your blessing. What about us? Do God-orchestrated tests benefit me? How many of you know the answer? So you just told God he has permission to bless you with a test. Well, you know there's shortcomings in your life. You've prayed, Lord, I want more faith. Where does faith come from? Testing. Let me tell you, yes. Tests come into my life to purify you. Trials drive us closer to the Lord, and when we get closer to the Lord, it reveals the sins that we've been tolerating in our life. Hebrews 12:11 says, no, discipline never seems pleasant at the time, But painfully later, however, it produces a harvest of deep righteousness and peace for those who have withstood the test. Yes, they are also designed to increase your faith. Rather than complaining, maybe we should be contemplating of what this test can do for us. Romans 3, or chapter 5, verse 3 and 4 says, we can rejoice when we run into problems and trials. For we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God helps us and he develops endurance. It's a strength of character that he's looking for and comfort in the hope of salvation. Tests also come into our life to display God's power and his glory through you. Job, trials and weaknesses keep me from embezzling God's glory. And then finally, yes, for eternal benefits. Earthly trials produce eternal glory beyond comparison. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says this, our present troubles are small and won't last long as compared to the glory that we'll find in heaven. For they produce a glory that is vastly outweighs the blessing that you'll receive in heaven. Wow. Well, Pastor, that sounds good. Thank you, Pastor. But I'm still struggling. Here's what I'm trying to learn in my life. If I take these four reasons why God wants to turn this into my benefit and his benefit, without, it's real simple. I just change it to how. And I begin to pray, Lord, how do you see this purifying me? How, Lord, is this going to increase my faith? I need to know, Lord, what are your plans? How is this happening? How have you arranged or orchestrated this in my life? How will you receive glory through this, Lord? I don't like it, but I love you and I want you to be glorified. How will you do that, Father? And how will this be for an eternal benefit? How will others celebrate what you've done in me and through me? I changed how I look at this trial. I'm still struggling. I'm not like you. I don't want those things in my life. I'll go to church 3 times a week if I can have nothing but blessings in my life. I might even give 20% if I'm guaranteed nothing but blessings in my life, but I'm going to be a shallow person. I'm going to be hollow, and I'm not going to be complete. I'm not going to be mature, and I'm going to be lacking everything. What? Character. Godly character in my life. So instead of saying, why, God? Take this challenge and asking, how? And remember, you're not designed to walk alone through these valleys of testing. And I don't want you to say, oh, I'm not looking forward. I'm feeling really good today, and now something bad's going to happen. That's the enemy trying to warp inside you, my friends. Enjoy the blessing that God has delivered you with. Enjoy it and share it and give God the glory. But prepare to have an even deeper testimony when the test comes. And be reminded that the test is not greater than God. And be reminded that God has orchestrated it for your benefit and his glory. And he will see you through it. Because I serve a God, his name is what? Jehovah Jireh. The God who what? Provides.